Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Years ago, I was required to take a seminary course on the history of Norwegian Lutheranism. And I thought, it was fascinating. Have you ever heard the story of Hans Nielsen Hauge? 1798, this 25-year-old farmer is singing a hymn as he plows, gets knocked over, filled with the glory of the Lord. When he comes to, God uses this uneducated farmer to evangelize Norway, the greatest revival in the history of that country. Now, there's a lot of Norwegian Lutherans in Minnesota, so on a rare occasion at a garage sale, I'll see this picture right here. And this is a picture of a Hauge meeting. Back in the 1700s, 1800s, it was illegal for anybody to preach except Norwegian Lutheran pastors. Well, here's a Hauge meeting, and a Hauge preacher is preaching to the group illegally, sharing the gospel. So what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you the story of Hans Nielsen Hauge, and then I want to draw lessons from his life for our lives today. So let's pray first. Father, we thank you for all the saints that have gone before us that you have used to bring Christianity to various countries and to our lives. We pray now, Lord, that you would speak to us from this Norwegian from the 1700s about things that we should be doing today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is the story of Hans Nielsen Hauge. Hans Nielsen Hauge was a farmer's son. It had a farm in southern Norway. He started a religious revival in 1796. For 8 years, he traveled and he preached, mostly on foot. He traveled 9,300 miles speaking the gospel. The revival reached every corner of Norway. So here's the story. April 1796, Hauge was out plowing a field on his father's farm. He's 25 years old, and he said this, "Once as I was working under the open sky, I was singing the hymn, 'Jesus, O to taste sweet union with you.' My mind was so uplifted to God that I was unaware of myself and could not say what was happening to my soul. My soul felt something supernatural. There was a glory that no tongue can describe. No one can take this away from me. I especially felt a passionate love for God and my neighbor. I grieved over my sins. I felt a strong desire that people should share with the grace that I too have now. And I was filled with a passionate desire to read the Bible, knowing that Jesus had come as our Savior, and we should be born anew by His Spirit, repent, and be made holy more and more. I prayed to God that He would withhold the last judgment, Judgment Day, so the people could repent. I heard in my inner being, 'You shall confess my name before the people, exhort them to repent, and seek me while I can be found.'" So he comes in from the field that day. He shares his experience with his siblings and his family. Quote, I'm quoting from a book called A Prophet Behind the Plow. A lot of this is from that book. "His words had great effect on his family, and over the course of a few days, his siblings experienced what Hauge called a changed mind. If people now would come to the farm, Hauge would be talking to them about Christ. Rumors spread throughout the area of Hauge's religious experience. Some people tried to convince him to put aside his newfound zeal for Christianity, and it troubled Hauge. And he wrote this, "I called out to God and cried to so heavily that the tears flooded out. I prayed to God that he would take this heavy obligation of preaching to others away from me and send a bishop instead. People would listen to someone like that, but they did not respect me. It got to the point where Haugi prayed that he might die so that he would be released from this mission. But he heard an inner, in his inner being, he heard God say, I have often used those considered insignificant to the world to spread my kingdom. Shepherds, fishermen, tax collectors. I shall give you power and wisdom that your enemies will not be able to stand against. Eventually, Haugi was compelled to put his beliefs in print, and he produced several books, one after another. Soon, Haugi became the most read author in Norway. At least 100,000 people read his books in those early first years. In the course of the 8 years that he traveled throughout Norway, he writes this, many nights I did not sleep for more than 2 to 3 hours. Whenever I was traveling along the road, many would come up and talk to me. If I was in a house, people streamed to that place. Sometimes Haugi held 4 religious meetings a day. Well, then Haugi experienced resistance to his work, some of which came from the Lutheran Church. Theological journals and newspapers berated Haugi, and Haugi writes this, I was hit by a school teacher who had a wrong conviction and spirit. With intense anger and profanity, he attacked me with derision. One of the Lutheran deans said that Haugi had drawn the hearts of the parish away from him, and so Haugi was arrested. When Haugi was arrested, the sheriff wanted to have some fun at the expense of this holy lay preacher, so he sent a prostitute into the prison, but it had the opposite effect. Within a few moments, he looked into her eyes, spoke a few words to her, at which she burst into tears over her sins. From the day that Haugi had the vision in 1796 until 1814, he spent more days in prison than outside preaching. He was arrested 11 times, and the last imprisonment lasted 10 years. The sheriff there hoped that the soldiers and their swearing and their crudeness would bring Haugi to his senses. The opposite happened. Quote, I got into conversation with some of the soldiers, and my words caused some of them to think so much that they cried over their sins. Others became very angry and threatened to put a wooden stake in my mouth to shut me up. Well, after 8 years of traveling and preaching, Haugi was imprisoned for the 10th and final time, and his writings were banned in Norway. He was confined to a small room that became his world for many years. During a series of court hearings, Haugi was urged to relinquish his belief in the Word of God, but his response was, quote, I am threatened with long imprisonment and also death, but prison will not last forever, and death comes to all those who live. After that, though, comes the judgment. His last imprisonment, he had 3 years of solitary confinement, was only let out into daylight 3 times, that first year, anyway. He was not permitted to read books. After 2 years passed, Haugi's health finally broke. The court case against Haugi was one of the longest-running trials in the history of Norway. 600 people testified at it. The case gradually became a scandal. So on the day before Christmas, 1814, Haugi was freed. In one of his last religious tracts, he writes, I can assure you that I, in the darkest of prisons, had the spiritual joys that exceed all the world's glory. He spent his last few years on the farm. He wrote books, preached the Bible, gave advice. And Haugi urged his followers to remain within the Lutheran Church in Norway. Many people in his last years came to speak to him, including Lutheran bishops and pastors. When one of the bishops saw Haugi's bent-over body, he later had to admit Haugi had suffered for the sake of Christ. Haughey died almost 53 years old. His last words, "Follow Jesus, oh, you are the eternal loving God." That is the history of Hans Nielsen Haughey. What I want to do now is tell you some stories, some lessons I get from that story. Lesson number one. Don't despise the way some people come to Christ. Haughey had a dramatic religious experience, and if you know someone like that, don't make fun of them. That's the way some people come to Christ. Other people don't have a big whoop-de-doo experience. They grew up trusting in Christ. Well, don't doubt their salvation either. The point is not how you came to know Christ. It's that you know him. I used to have a radio show. And a certain caller, it was a call-in show, a certain caller would call in periodically, "Pastor Brock, you're not saved." I said, "Okay, why don't you think I'm saved?" "Well, because you said on the radio you don't know the day and hour you were saved, so therefore you're not saved." And finally I said, "Can you find me the verse that says you have to know the day you were saved to be saved?" I said to him, "I think Paul the Apostle could probably tell you the day he was saved. He gets knocked down on the road to Damascus, gets converted. But Timothy in the New Testament, it says, he's known the gospel from his mother, grandma. He was raised in this. I don't know that Timothy would be able to give you a day or an hour." My point is, some people come dramatically. Some people come gradually. I mean, don't judge people that didn't come to Christ just the way you did. Just make sure you come to Christ one way or another. Next lesson I learned from Haughey. God can use the uneducated. In 1700s Norway, it was illegal to preach the gospel unless you were an educated Norwegian Lutheran pastor. But God overlooked them, and he went right to an uneducated farmer to start the revival. God can use the uneducated. I'm a Lutheran. I graduated from Luther Theological Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. When I graduated, it was moderately liberal. Today, it's radically liberal. Some of my fellow classmates, not all, but some of them, are pastors now in churches. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe you need to believe in Christ to be saved. They pray to God the Mother. They've endorsed transgenderism, homosexuality, abortion. I would rather hear an uneducated farmer who loves Jesus preach to me than an enlightened seminary-trained Lutheran. I mean, and this is happening in various denominations. Way back in college, there was a Methodist church near my college. So I went there just for a Christmas service. The preacher gets up. "Today I want to talk about the myth of the virgin birth of Christ." And I groaned out loud in the church service. I mean, God can use uneducated people. So don't ever say this. I hear this now and then. "Well, Pastor, I haven't been to seminary. I haven't been to Bible school. I don't know that much. So who am I to talk to somebody about Jesus?" What I learned from Haughey, you have as much right to talk to someone about Jesus as a brilliant scholar. Next lesson from Haughey. God can revive a dead church. Some would say that the Lutheran church in Norway, it's the state church, the official church, in 1700s was pretty dead, pretty formal. But God can revive a dead church. In fact, Haughey urged his followers to stay within the Lutheran church to try to make a difference. Now, if you've watched this show enough, you know that I urge people to leave the United Methodist Church, the ELCA Lutheran Church, the liberal branch of Lutheranism, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the Disciples of Christ, because these churches have abandoned Scripture in many ways. Now, I know God can bring revival to those denominations. For decades, it's just gotten worse and worse, and I see no sign of it. So I still urge you to join a more biblical branch of the denominations. The ELCA Lutheran Church that I led my congregation out of and we joined a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. They have lost 40% of their members since 1988. Which leads to my next point from Hauge. A revived church can become dead again. What is the state of the Lutheran church in Norway today? It isn't good. I knew a dear, sweet woman of my church. Her name was Tora. She lived to be, I think, 100. She was raised in Norway, but lived most of her life in America. She'd go home now and then to visit her relatives, and shaking hands at the door, she'd come back, "Oh, Pastor Tom, I just saw my relatives in Norway. When I was a little girl, everybody went to church in Norway. Today, none of my relatives go to church." The Lutheran church in Norway and the Lutheran church in Sweden, Denmark, Germany, just have shrunk. There are people that go to church there, but the attendance is tiny. And why? Well, the Lutheran bishop of Stockholm, Sweden, a lesbian with a wife, told the church at the harbor of Stockholm, "You know, perhaps it's best if you take the cross down so you don't offend the Muslims." Here in Minneapolis, 2 months ago, they installed, the ELCA Lutheran Liberal Church installed over all of Minneapolis, the head bishop of Minneapolis is now a lesbian with a wife. So the point is, churches that experience revival, if they aren't diligent, can go right back and be dead again. Next lesson from Hauge. God sends a preacher. When God wanted to revive Norway, he sent a preacher. In the Old Testament, when God wanted to revive the Jews, he sent the prophets. In the New Testament, when God wanted to save people through Jesus, first he sent a prophet, John the Baptist. In the book of Acts, when God wanted to save people in Laodicea, Ephesus, Athens, he sent the apostles. So my point is this. I hope you support preaching. I hope some of your money regularly goes to world missions or local mission where they're preaching the gospel. Next lesson from Hauge. Be willing to spend years in jail. Martin Niemöller was a Lutheran pastor in Nazi Germany. He stood up to Hitler. It landed him in prison. One of his friends was not happy that Pastor Niemöller was standing up to Hitler, so he visited Niemöller in prison and he said, "Pastor Niemöller, why are you here?" And Niemöller said, "Friend, why aren't you here?" It's normally on Mondays that I pray for the persecuted church. And what I pray for them is what I pray for me. Lord, may they die, may I die, before we would deny you. And Lord, if you're calling me to spend 10 years in prison like Hauge, help me do it. Last lesson from Hauge. Have a burden for the lost. Hauge was concerned that lost people come to saving faith in Jesus. Do you have that concern? Where are they? Here are my prayer lists. These are people, I've been praying for their salvation for decades. Some of them have come to Christ. Some haven't budged, but I'm going to pray for these people till I die. Now, when I go out and about, I normally have one of these in my pocket, and it's amazing how often I get to hand somebody a tract about Christ and salvation. And I give money to foreign missions, because if you get a burden for the lost, it just changes your life. Somebody said, if we could take an elevator down into hell and see hell for 5 minutes and then come back up, everything would change. The way we talk, the way we spend money. Do you have a burden for the lost? One Sunday, a church was taking a second offering that was going to go strictly for world missions. And they're passing the plate, and one of the members lifts up his nose. "Oh, I don't believe in foreign missions." And the person next to him said, "Then, sir, take something out of the plate. It's for the heathen." There was an atheist farmer. Never went to church. All of his neighbors did, but he never went to church. And one day a new neighbor moved in and thought he'd meet this neighbor. He goes over and has coffee at his table. They have a wonderful talk. And the new neighbor starts to talk to this atheist about Jesus. And the atheist said, "Well, here's an amazing thing. If there's not one of my neighbors who wouldn't run to tell me if one of my cattle was on the railroad tracks. But you're the first person in all these years to talk to me about my soul." I mean, if you woke up tonight at 2 o'clock in the morning and you look across the street and your neighbor's house is on fire, I bet you'd run over and pound on the door and wake him up. Well, if your neighbor does not know Christ, their house is on fire. So the last thing I just want to urge is this. What I learned from Hauge: have a burden for souls. Can I ask you to do something? This week, pray about this and just ask, who should I talk to about Jesus? Try to share Jesus, talk to somebody about Jesus, whether you're educated or not. Talk to another human soul about Christ. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, What is the name of the pamphlets that you give out?
Yeah, the salvation pamphlet that I give out the most is called Have You Heard of the Four Spiritual Laws? And I get this question asked periodically. Mm-hmm. Here's the phone number if you want to order 100 of them, 800-827-2788. I'll say it again, 800-827-2788. But Mona, I give out other tracts too, like 1 Minute After You Die, or Are You Good Enough to Go to Heaven? The answer is no. It's Only by Grace We're Saved. Here's a children's one, How to Get to Heaven, a little comic book on how to get to heaven. On Halloween, I just don't drop candy in the sack. I give them a salvation tract on the perfect pumpkin, or, you know, it talks about Christ's death and resurrection. So for these, everybody write it down, crossway.org. crossway.org. They'll show you all kinds of pamphlets. You just buy some and hand them out when you think it's right. So there you go.
Okay. Pastor Brock, what do Lutherans believe?
Yeah, Hauge that I just preached about was a Lutheran. My dad was Catholic. I was baptized Catholic. Mom was Lutheran. We were all raised Lutheran. And then I went to a Baptist college. So I've kind of lived the differences. Mm-hmm. So just in a nutshell, Lutherans believe it's very important that we say that we maintain what Ephesians 2 says. We're saved by grace alone, not by our good works. Yes, when you're saved, it changes your life. Mm-hmm. Good works result, but they're the result of, not the cause of our salvation. A lot of people think they're getting to heaven because they're good. Mm-hmm. We're not good. We're sinners. We need Christ's death for our salvation. So that's huge. It's called the theology of the cross, that it's only by Christ that we'll be saved. Other denominations believe that too, but Lutherans are big on that. The difference, all right, Catholics, Methodists, Episcopalians, Presbyterians baptize infants. Mm-hmm. Baptists only baptize adults. For these other denominations, except for Presbyterians, baptism and the Lord's Supper, God actually does wonderful things when you're baptized, when you take the Lord's Supper. For Baptists, it's more of a symbolic thing. Mm-hmm. So we could get into more of it. But all those denominations believe in the Trinity, one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They all believe Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead. But there are differences that we could do a whole show on.
Okay.
There you go.
Where does it say in the Bible to baptize babies? I think we should all be baptized like Jesus was. Total immersion.
Does it say Jesus was totally immersed? He was baptized by John the Baptist. And the word baptism can mean immersion. It can also mean just washing. Mm-hmm. Jesus used the same word. Now you Pharisees, you baptize your hands, but you know your heart is a mess. And so it can mean washing. As an adult, I like to do total immersion because it's good symbolism. You die to sin, you rise to Christ. But the point is not how much water you get on you, but that you receive the water and in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If somebody's baptized not in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I'd redo the baptism. So that is, and why do we baptize babies? Because in the book of Acts, it says whole households were baptized. And it says that more than once. So I can't help but think that included children. Mm-hmm. It would have, I believe. But adults, they have to believe. Yeah, adults, they do have to believe first. But when we're baptizing whole households, when the Philippian jailer gets saved in Acts, 15, 16, the whole household gets baptized. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Oh, one more thing. When people say, well, yeah, but a baby can't have the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, the unborn baby John the Baptist, leapt for joy. And it's when Jesus, pregnant Mary walks in the room mm-hmm. with the unborn Jesus. And it says that of John the Baptist, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Mm-hmm. So you can have the Holy Spirit as a child. Yeah.
All right. My 97-year-old mother wants to know, will she see her husband and other relatives in heaven? And how old will she be?
You know, if you die at 90, are you 90 for eternity? If you die at age six years old, are you 6 years old? I mean, the Bible doesn't answer those questions, but we'll have our perfect new resurrection bodies. There is no age in heaven because it's eternal. So I don't know that there will be an age in heaven. Mm-hmm. And she wondered, well, if she see her husband in heaven, if he was a believer and she was a believer, I think she'll see him and know there's my husband. But Jesus said you won't be married in heaven mm-hmm. because we don't need to have babies and repopulate heaven because nobody ever dies. So I think you'll know your loved ones. Jesus said you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to know them when I've never seen them, I think you'll know your husband.
Yeah. I totally agree.
But you won't be married.
Do we have time for one?
Let's see. I think we don't. So let's just wrap her up, everybody. Just thanks again for watching our program. We pray it's a blessing for you. We get wonderful emails, letters, texts from people that are blessed by our program. And it's because of you and the Lord's provision that we're on, because a lot of people say we pray for you regularly. Then they support us to keep us on the air because, Mona, it's $60,000 a month to buy the airtime. So thank you for doing that, and please continue and pray for us. But there you go, and watch our TV show at pastorstudy.org.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.